Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Now, can you imagine a congregation that does not have the singing of faithful, comforting, and time-tested hymns? So Advent without O Come, Emmanuel. Or Christmas without O Come, All Ye Faithful. Or Epiphany without O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright. Or Lent without Jesus, I Will Ponder Now. Or Holy Week without O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. Or Easter without I Know That My Redeemer Lives. And so on. Now sadly, this often happens these days in churches. Congregational singing and its rich hymnody is replaced essentially by mass entertainment and shallow lyrics that blare from a stage. Certainly perish the thought and protect us from this Heavenly Father. But this is not only a present tragedy you should be aware of. It happened also way back when in the church's history. In the 4th century of the Christian church, that is particularly the Western Church, the Church of Rome, it all but lost congregational singing and that of hymns, etc. And among others, a significant man by the name of Ambrose of Milan, the Bishop of Milan, which was northern Italy, came to its rescue. He would spend most of his short life in a fierce fight against the false teachings of Arianism. That is, which taught that Jesus was a creature created by the Father, and therefore he was not God, he was not eternal. Therefore, Arianism denied the divinity of God, or the divinity of the Son. Now, to combat this false teaching, Ambrose wrote, taught, and composed hymns to teach the Orthodox faith to the people. One of these hymns, Savior of the Nations Come, which you just sang, is perhaps the finest of all our Advent hymnody. As you might know, it was originally written in Latin by Ambrose, translated by Martin Luther into German, and those German translations are now the basis of our English translation that you have in your hymnal. So this being the first Sunday in Advent, I think it is quite proper that we look at the Savior of the Nations Come, for it is the chief hymn of the day. For this is a season of life in which the church prepares to receive things that are all out of sorts. The divinity of God is found within the limits of space and time. A virgin has a baby without knowing a man. Angels deliver the message of the birth of God not to royalty but to sheepish shepherds watching their flocks by night. The innocent babe pays for all guilty babes that are conceived in sin. And there's so much more. And so this hymn walks us through the entirety of the Christian story with a simple yet eloquent style. So let's view its rich portrait this morning. Verse 1. Savior of the nations, come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. So today we turn our faces and we cry toward the divine future. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is what faith does. It cries out for God's promise to be fulfilled. And this is how Christians have cried for thousands of years. And we continue this plea today. A little by little, God masterfully unfolds his plan. Each event in the Christian salvation story, the faithful remnant call for him to come, to seek and to find his people. Not in royal palaces, but in all various places across the earth. For not only do those of flesh and blood marvel at this holy birth, this arrival of God in the flesh, but even heaven cannot contain itself. The angelic host will wonder at this phenomenon, this contradiction that God has become man, breaking through the barrier of time and space to deliver a resounding glory and excelsis to unsuspecting shepherds. How can it be that God works in this way? But not by human flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of our God, was the Word of God made flesh, woman's offspring pure and fresh. He, Jesus, is to be a most ordinary child. Yet he is no ordinary child. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the creative element of the Father's voice, the present of the fullness of God's speaking. Even as the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep in the beginning, the one who moved and set the world into being was the Son who spoke it into existence. He is the Word made flesh, pleased to dwell with us fallen humanity. And yet he is born of a woman, born under the law, pure and fresh, restoring his world and moving us toward the moment where he is making all things new. And here a maid was found with child, yet remained a virgin mild. In her womb this truth was shown. God was there upon his throne. Lowly and humble, undeserving Mary, a virgin maiden betrothed to Joseph. And mind you, what sensible proof is there that she is not defiled? Her gentle and righteous husband has in mind to show kindness and divorce her in secret, right? But heaven cannot contain itself. Gabriel, the privileged creature, must call this adoptive father forth by the gospel as this child's guardian. And he will guard the Son of God by keeping Mary to be Joseph's bride. By the believing heart of faith, truth is known, even as it is hidden in the safekeeping of Mary's mortal womb. The way, the truth, and the life is in her womb, taking shape and growing and preparing for this arrival. The pondering of her heart is indeed the very throne of the living and the moving and the growing and the coming Savior of the nations. And then set forth the Lord of all from his pure and kingly hall, God of God, yet fully man, his heroic course began. The hero is born, that is Jesus. The infant is born to die on a cross. He breaks into this world, retaining and yet veiling his divinity, his godness, if you will. For as you confess that he is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, against the Arians, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made. And yet, he lays bloodied and filthy in the mess of childbirth. Fully man, born to take up himself that which only he can bear, the sins of the world. This baby, at present, in the warm embrace of a virgin's tired arms, will die, crucified, in 33 years. He will live perfectly, being undeserving of his fate, and yet willingly assume the deserving role to rescue that which he created from the bondage of filth and the messiness of sin. So the hero's moving course begins with his first tiny inhale and exhaled infant cry. And God the Father was his source. And back to God he ran his course. Into hell his road went down, back then to his throne and crown. So God the Father sends him forth. He is shown faithful to the Father in the wilderness, in the temptation. He is shown pleasing to the Father in the river Jordan of his baptism. He is shown pleasing to his Father at the Mount of Transfiguration. He is shown the Father's confidence when he argues and debates with the Pharisees in Jerusalem. He is shown forsaken by the Father as he cries out in mystery, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet in the fullness of this forsakenness, the sacrifice is acceptable. The course is complete. He's made all things new. And now the hero's course ends with that final last cry, his last inhale and exhaled breath on Calvary's cross. It is finished. The chains of death have no hold on him, therefore they have no hold upon you. He transgresses the boundaries of hell, but not as a captive, but as its conqueror. As the one who's treading through and out of the tomb toward the moment and the mount of his ascension, to the assumption of his heavenly throne, to the crown of the victory that he has won for all people. For you are the Father's Son, who in flesh the victory won, by your mighty power make whole all our ills of flesh and soul. The great confession rings out, does it not? Builds through the ages with intensity and strength. This is the Christ, the coming one, the living God in the flesh. He is the righteous one with salvation. He is the Father's Son who brings peace between God and men. And by his death, he has destroyed death, making us whole and removing all the strangling malice of sin and the devil and the corruption of our sinful flesh and death's cold and dark tomb. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? You are abandoned, O ills of flesh and soul. You are bound to that tomb and to this earthly life. Conquered and left behind by the Savior of the nations who is coming and who has come. And from that manger, newborn light shines in glory through the night. Darkness there no more resides. In this light, faith now abides. This is our destination in this Advent season. So strangely begun in the gospel lesson which you heard in Matthew chapter 21. We are beginning our travels to the bedside manger by first marching into the passion of Jesus and finding no other wooden contraptions ever constructed to be so beautiful than a crib and a cross. For at both crib and cross shines forth for us the newborn light, the light of peace between God and man, and that this glory shines forth through the darkness of all the world's night. Sin's darkness of doubt and despair cannot reside there anymore. And so the temple curtain tears in two, the rocks split, and the Lord lifts up his voice, and the earth melts. Because where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation and eternal light. The Savior of the nations, the Virgin's Son. This is what we believe. This is what we teach. This is what we confess. And this is what our hymns sing and tell us as we travel. This is our hope. This is our destination because this is our faithful hero's destination. And then glory to the Father, sing. Glory to the Son, our King. Glory to the Spirit, be now and through eternity. The glory of the children of God. What is it? But that they sing the glories of their Lord's wondrous salvation with full throats. For as we have sung this hymn, I pray that you would at least, perhaps maybe sing it in your home, or at least read it as an Advent meditation throughout these days of preparation before our Lord's holy nativity. For again, this is what we believe, this is what we teach, and this is what we confess as we travel with and in Jesus to his cross and passion, to his broken tomb, and to his glorious ascension into heaven. For it is the heroic course that he began, is the heroic course that he finished, and is the heroic course that he gives to us as his children. And therefore, we break forth in praise of the Holy Trinity's work of salvation. Even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come, we pray, in this Advent season, for night will be no more. The present evil age and all its sin and death will be no more. And all that shall be is our Jesus, dawning from on high, breaking upon us with grace and favor and mercy, righteousness and salvation, this light and life forever to be ours in his eternal presence. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you.